24 hours of bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
It's 10 o'clock.
CBS News. The United States and six industrial allies declare they have agreed on a common approach to global economic policy. I'm Jerry Landay reporting on the CBS Radio Network. President Ford returned to Washington from Puerto Rico Monday night, having won the commitment of Britain, France, and four other industrial powers to sustained, go-slow, anti-inflationary economics. Correspondent Phil Jones reports.
President Ford concluded his three-day summit with the leaders of six other industrialized nations, proclaiming publicly that it had been a success in convincing those present that too fast of economic growth could ignite disastrous worldwide inflation, that the economic recovery should be accomplished with moderate, steady policies. But apparently, Mr. Ford's Treasury Secretary, William Simon, is not so sure that that message got through. Said Simon on the flight back to Washington, preaching moderate growth is like trying to sell leprosy. Simon called the current 6% rate of inflation in the United States intolerable and that efforts should be made to return to a 2 to 3% annual inflation rate, which has been the historical average. Simon also reiterated his plans to resign next January, regardless of how the November election turns out. Bill Jones, CBS News, Andrews Air Force Base, Maryland.
More news after this.
I'm Barbara Hale from Anna, and I'd like to introduce some friends of mine, Danny David and the Nashville Brass. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Barbara. Am I excited? Boy, we've just finished a fabulous record for all America, a special bicentennial stereo album recorded exclusively for Amana called America, 200 Years Young.
A $6.95 value for only a dollar just for watching a demonstration of Amana's revolutionary Touchmatic radar range, the first microwave oven with a memory. Fantastic. You get food from the freezer to the table piping hot just by touching a few numbers. Simple as 1, 2, 3. See the Amana Touchmatic radar range demonstrated at participating Amana retailers and get your Amana Bicentennial album for a dollar.
With Danny Davis and the Nashville Brass, get it.
Fourteen hours of negotiations failed to produce the release of the more than 250 Air France passengers in Entebbe, Uganda. The passengers spent the long night in the airport terminal under the guns of pro-Palestinian Arab captors. The negotiations were directed personally by President Idi Amin and French Ambassador Pierre Renard, a spokesman telling newsmen later that talks had reached a standoff. There are 80 Israelis among the passengers. The plane was on a flight from Tel Aviv to Paris by way of Athens. Amin, normally a virulent critic of Israel, has made no statements since the plane was diverted to Entebbe. Mahmoud Riyad, the Secretary General of the Arab League, has ordered additional contingents of Saudi Arabian and Sudanese troops to reinforce units of the Pan-Arab peacekeeping force in Beirut, Lebanon. There is currently little peace to keep. Christian militiamen continue their all-out attacks against two Palestinian refugee camps in the outskirts of Beirut. All city services have come to a stop, garbage rotting in the streets. From Riyadh come vague warnings of dire consequences unless the Christian Arabs lift their siege of the Muslim camps. There may be a lighter-than-air Lindbergh in the making. It's estimated that balloonist Carl Thomas is more than a third of the way across the Atlantic, headed for a projected touchdown in the vicinity of Paris. An Italian jetliner reported picking up radio signals from the balloon Monday. Thomas is more than 1,100 miles east of New York after liftoff at Lakehurst, New Jersey, Friday. His ground crew estimating that if all goes well, Thomas could reach Paris by Wednesday or Thursday. His is the 13th try for a solo balloon ocean crossing. All the others failed. Six of those balloonists died. The House has approved without debate a foreign aid bill appropriating $5.6 billion for the 15 months ending this October 1st. The largest single block of dollar aid goes to Israel, $3.5 billion worth. Now this.
Get some more wood over here.
All right.
Here, give me the torch.
Here,
goes.
Yeah, we'll teach her.
You'd think a white woman would know better.
In 1860, Myrtilla Minor, a white woman, had started a school for black children in Rhode Island. She was harassed in the daily press and forced to move from place to place. Miss Minor did everything possible to keep her school open until it was burned down. To commemorate her ideals and courage, a college in Washington, D.C. was named in her honor, the Minor Teachers College. Supporting black education once meant putting your life or liberty on the line. Fortunately, today, we just need your signature. Please, write a check to the United Negro College Fund and continue a great American tradition. A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Josip Broz Tito of Yugoslavia broke with Joseph Stalin 28 years ago, Tito refusing to accept Moscow's control over other communist parties. Tito was in East Berlin Monday to attend his first summit of 28 European communist parties and met with Leonid Brezhnev. Observers say the meeting marks Moscow's acceptance of Tito's historic declaration of independence from Moscow. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
And this is KIXI Seattle, 6 minutes past 10. The weather outlook calls for cooler temperatures tomorrow through Wednesday with increasing chance of showers or possible thunder showers. The highs, lower 70s, low tonight near 60, mid-50s tomorrow night. And currently in downtown Seattle, it's 65 degrees. And taking a look at sports, Major League Baseball activity in the American League. Cleveland dumped Milwaukee 5-3. Boston outslugged Baltimore 12-8. Detroit downed the Yankees 5-1. And in 11 innings, it was Texas over Oakland 3-2. In the National League, Houston beat San Francisco 8-2. Philadelphia dumped Montreal 6-2. The New York Mets had St. Louis 5-4. And Pittsburgh defeated the Chicago Cubs 9-2. CBS Radio Mystery Theater coming up next on KIXI. The time is 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall, Dean of the demons and devils that descend upon us at this hour. We've been told by a gallery of characters as diverse as Douglas MacArthur, Thomas Edison, and Aldous Huxley that there are no substitutes for victory, hard work, and talent, respectively. Does that imply that there can be no satisfactory substitute for anything? Suppose you were condemned to death. How about a substitute who would walk that last mile for you?
But I didn't kill him, Lieutenant.
Come on, Mr. Raglan. You're only wasting time.
I tell you, I'm innocent.
You sent him that bottle of liquor. It was poison.
But I...
It was a birthday gift. The note was in your handwriting. I have the testimony of the clerk at the store. He remembers selling you this bottle.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, if I did kill him, would I be crazy enough to leave so many clues pointing to me?
Sure. Sure, because maybe that's your defense. You figure the members of the jury will ask that same question. Would he be crazy enough to leave all those clues? Well, I wish you luck, because you're going to find out the hard way.
Mystery drama, 45 Minutes to Murder, written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan, and stars Larry Haynes. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division.
I'll be back shortly with Act One.
43 years ago, the experiment ended. The headline shouted, repeal, and a thirsty nation crowded into the corner tavern. But something more than beer was back. Beechwood-aged Budweiser was back, brewed the same careful way it always was, to taste just like it always did. And to let the whole world know it, The Budweiser people hitched 8 mighty Clydesdales to a bright red wagon and proudly delivered a complimentary case of their beer to President Roosevelt. How good did that Budweiser taste back in 1933? Every bit as good as it did back in 1876. And just as good, as distinctive, as enjoyable as it does today, a century later. Ah, Budweiser, the king of beers for 100 years. Anheuser-Busch, headquarters, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hey, are you the country doctor?
Yeah.
Well, I'm the United States of America, and I need help.
Okay, what do you want me to help you on?
Well, I've got 200 years of growing pains and 200 million people.
Where'd you hit the most?
In my heart, because that's where those 200 million people live. Do you understand that?
Yeah, because you're the United States of America.
Then what's wrong with me, doctor?
Well, maybe it's because all the bad people in your heart is what makes you sick.
Gee, that sounds serious.
Yeah, because if your heart doesn't work, then nothing works.
Well, how do I cure the bad people in my heart?
Well, you could tell them to be good to each other and to love each other. And then maybe you'll feel much better.
Well, God bless America. Please?
From the Franciscans, with love.
We are told, thou shalt not kill. The laws, both secular and divine, define murder as the ultimate crime, for which the ultimate penalty must be exacted. And yet, deep or not so deep, in all of us, is a bloodlust, and some of us satisfy it actively, while most of us, fortunately, are happy to indulge it vicariously. After all, isn't that why you listen to our program? What you want is murder. Well, you got here just in time. The body is still warm.
The deceased is a female, white, age 50, named Emma Martindale. Her death was caused by an ingestion of hydrocyanic acid.
What's that, Doc?
It's also known as prussic acid, Lieutenant.
Oh.
It's one of the most deadly and quick-acting of all the poisons.
How was it administered?
It was in a bottle of cognac that someone had sent to her husband, evidently.
Now, Doc, you say quick-acting. How quick?
The dose she took? Just a couple of minutes. The guy who sent it has to be the killer, Lieutenant. It's open and shut.
Please accept my sympathy on the death of your wife.
Don't say the death of my wife, Lieutenant. Say the murder.
Tell me what you know, Mr. Martindale.
James Raglan has always hated me.
James Raglan, why?
Why? He envies me my talent, my success, my position as vice president of Caraway Chemicals.
Uh-huh.
A job he thinks should have been given to him. Why, he's so extravagant, wasteful. The way he spends money, we'd be bankrupt in a year.
Well, if he hated and envied you, why should he kill her?
Incompetence, stupidity. Here, read this card.
To Emmett, on your birthday, to be sipped slowly.
It was delivered to the house this morning with the bottle of cognac, the poisoned bottle of cognac.
Signed, Jim Raglan. Okay, tell me exactly what happened.
Well, I certainly didn't expect a gift from Jim Raglan, and so I called Emma into my study.
A gift from Jim?
Read the card, darling.
It's from Jim. His handwriting.
It must be a practical joke.
It's remarkable after all these years.
I always wanted to be reconciled with Jim. And since he's taken the first step, well, I'm going to open this bottle and drink to it. What better way?
I'll join you.
What?
Oh, pour some for me, too.
But, darling, you never drink.
I know, but this does call for a celebration.
Well, it certainly does. It means Jim has finally matured. Oh, it's going to help at the office if Jim is willing to pull his weight finally.
I propose a double toast. to your birthday.
No, don't remind
me. And to the flowering or the reflowering of a friendship.
We were holding our glasses aloft, as you do when you toast, and it seemed to me that I noticed a kind of cloudiness in the cognac. I wondered what it might be. It was Dunstan's, one of the most expensive cognacs you can buy. Still, this might have been a defective bottle. I was going to say, let's not drink this just yet, darling. But she had already swallowed it down.
Aren't you going to drink yours, Emmett?
Well, Emma, dear, do you notice anything strange about the cognac?
Strange? Well, I don't really know enough about
the cognac. I mean, the taste.
Well, I don't know how it's supposed to taste.
Yeah, well, probably it's my imagination.
Although...
What?
Well, maybe I'm not used to it.
You used to what?
To... Emmett! Oh, Emmett, I feel...
What is it?
Emmett! Something is...
Marjorie! Marjorie! Oh. I'll call a doctor. She was dead when help arrived. There was nothing anyone could do. And now you know everything.
Well, thank you, Mr. Martindale.
No, Lieutenant. You don't know everything.
Oh?
I had every intention of killing Jim Raglan. Killing him with my bare hands. Let your officers speak me to it. You saved him. You arrested him.
You'll have to let justice take its course.
Well, that's a superfluous remark. Certainly, I expect justice to take its course. If it doesn't, I'll take my own.
Mr. Raglan?
Who are you?
Lieutenant Cooper, homicide.
I didn't kill her.
You didn't mean to kill her. You sent the bottle of poison cognac to him.
I didn't send a bottle of poison cognac to anybody.
Now, Mr. Raglan, I want to help you.
If you want to help me, you'll find out who's trying to frame me.
Did you send Mr. Martindale a birthday gift?
Yes.
You don't deny it.
But it wasn't poisoned. It was Dunstan's cognac, 100 years old. It cost $200.
Isn't that a lot of money to spend on a birthday gift?
Well...
Especially for a person you really don't care for.
Who told you that?
Do you like Mr. Martindale? Are you in the habit of giving him gifts on his birthday?
Well, I just thought we'd been at sword's points long enough.
Sword's points?
Well, it's just that we disagree on money. He hates to spend it. I decided it'd be better for the firm if we pulled together.
Or if you could, pull alone.
I only wanted to make peace with him.
A $200 present?
Did it impress him? The business required both of us to work in harmony. I own stock in the company.
Now, we have the note in your handwriting.
Would I be such a fool?
Well, sure. Murder is basically a fool's occupation.
All you have is Emmett's word for it.
For what?
That the cognac I sent him is the same cognac that poisoned his wife. Listen, suppose he wanted to kill her.
Why?
Well, suppose the cognac arrives, it has the note in my handwriting. He gets a sudden flash of inspiration. He opens it. He spikes it with the poison.
Yeah, sure, fine. Where would he get the poison?
We're in the chemical business. He's a chemist. He has a laboratory in the house. He gets his wife to drink some of the cognac. And here I am, in jail, the killer.
Well, you must admit it sounds a bit far-fetched.
I don't admit anything.
Mr. Raglan, make it easy on yourself, huh? Anytime you're ready to make a statement, why, you...
I'll have your badge. I'll sue this town for false arrest. How dare you accuse me?
Now, look, Mr. Raglan...
Why don't you go to Barnaby's Liquor Store on 4th and Van Buren? That's where I bought the cognac. I said, give me a bottle of Dunstan's. He got it. I said, gift wrap, and put this card inside. He did it. And then I said, deliver it. There was no way I could have poisoned that cognac.
Sure, I remember, Lieutenant. I don't sell a bottle of Dunstan's every day, you know what I mean? Very few liquor stores even carry that quality.
Now, he came in here, asked for the Dunstan's. He wrote a note.
Yeah, he says, gift wrap it and put this note inside, which I did.
Uh-huh. So, now we have this wrapped package. Now, tell me the next thing that happened.
The next thing he says...
I want this delivered.
Sure thing.
right now.
To Mr. Emmett Martindale, 13 Pleasance Drive.
Well, my delivery guy won't come in until noon.
Well, that's more than an hour from now. I'd like it delivered at once.
Oh, it's only an hour away.
All right. Suppose we forget the whole thing.
Oh, no, wait. Let us not be hasty. Now, you stay here a minute. Watch the place, will you? I'll run next door to the grocery. Maybe his guy will help me. I ran next door to Markowitz's place. We do favors for each other, see? But his kid was already on deliveries.
Have you left Mr. Ragland and the package all alone in your store?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How long?
Oh, I don't know. Couple of minutes.
Now, think very carefully. Was he carrying anything?
Yeah, one of them attaché cases.
You're sure?
Yeah, positive.
Then he did have the opportunity to switch bottles. Now, the point is, he was alone with the package.
Well, sure. He was alone with every package in the store.
I see. And then what did you do?
I went back, and I told him straight out, I can't deliver this for at least an hour.
Then cancel it.
Oh, no, wait. Wait, let me think. It'll take me 10 minutes to get to Pleasance. 10 minutes back. I can close the store for 20 minutes or a half hour. Look, I'll deliver it myself.
And then what happened?
What do you think? I delivered the package.
I want you to explain every detail of that delivery.
Okay. I drive up to the door. I park the car. I ring the bell.
Yes?
Hey, gorgeous. I got a package here for Mr. Martindale.
From whom?
From Mr. James Ragland. Hey, what's your name?
Are you sure it's from Mr. James Ragland?
Cross my heart and hope to die.
Wait here.
With that, she leaves me standing at the door. Well, from inside, I hear voices.
What kind of voices?
Voices?
Saying what?
Well, I couldn't hear. It isn't more than a minute, and she comes back.
Thank you. That'll be all.
What time do you get off tonight, honey? You know how it is, Lieutenant. You win some, you lose some.
Yeah. Would you know exactly what time that was?
You bet I know. Every minute was costing me money. It was exactly 9 minutes after 11.
Your name is Marguerite Willis?
Yes, officer.
And just after 11 this morning, a man delivered a package?
A bottle of cognac for Mr. Martindale.
Uh-huh.
I brought it in to him.
Tell me, why did you ask the delivery man to wait?
Well, I couldn't believe Mr. Ragland would send Mr. Martindale a present.
Why not?
Well, I shouldn't say this, perhaps, but there's always been such bad blood between them.
I see. Now, tell me what happened when you brought the present to Mr. Martindale.
A gift for you, for Mr. Ragland.
Are you sure? That can't be right. I'll open and find out. You can leave the room if you like, Marguerite. It could be a bomb. Well, look at this.
It's a bottle of cognac.
Not just cognac, it's Dunstan's cognac. That extravagant fool. Maybe he wants to poison me. But with Dunstan's? Nobody would poison with a bottle of Dunstan's. Could be worth $200-$300. It's just too much money. Emma, dear. Come in here. It's a gift from Jim.
A gift from Jim?
I walked out of the room and I began to dust the parlor. I could hear them talking about it. He'd opened the bottle. She said that she'd join him.
How long did that take?
Just as long as it takes to tell you. Next thing I know, I hear him yell for me to call a doctor.
And did you?
Well, I was standing near the phone, so I just lifted it and called the police emergency number for an ambulance.
And they came right away?
Oh, yes. Right away.
Thank you, Miss Willis. I guess that's all.
That's all? That's all for whom? It could be all for Mr. James Ragland, but you know it can't be as simple as this. After all, it's only the end of Act One.
We'll have the usual quota of surprises set up for Act Two, and as for Act Three, well, but let's take them one at a time.
To the man who bought the Skyhawk, to the girl in the century, we're glad you like your Buicks, glad you set your spirit free.
And to the family from Ohio, to the folks up in St. Paul, nice to see you join us, nice to see you all.
Do you know that over 450,000 people have already bought 1976 Buicks?
No. No, we didn't know that.
You like your Buick, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
A lot?
Uh-huh, a lot, yeah.
Yeah. There's probably nothing you don't like about your Buick, right?
I can't think of a thing.
Well, we could probably even say you love your Buick, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
We could say that I love my Buick. That's right. In fact, I'll bet you wouldn't trade that Buick for $1 million.
Oh, I wouldn't bet that.
Oh, he bet it, didn't he? Okay, it's a bet. Here's the Buick. Where is the cashola? Let me see it. I don't think he's coming across.
It's nice to see you join us. We're glad it came to be. Nice to see you join us. Let your spirits free.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
I live on the street with my mommy and daddy. I have a little sister, too. It's a lot of fun, most of the time. Except when my little sister takes my toys. She's yucky. Our family had a problem once, and Mommy and Daddy were upset with each other a lot. My mommy called the people at the Mental Health Association, and they helped us. I guess Mommy didn't know what to do, and the Mental Health Association gave us information and several places where we could go. I bet they could help anybody. Mommy said she found them in the telephone book. They were so nice. Daddy said they helped people with all kinds of problems. I bet they could help you if you needed it. I wonder if they could talk to my little sister about playing with my toys.
Your Mental Health Association. People who care. People who can make a difference. The French say, chacun à son goût, which means everyone to his own taste. All too soon, we become enslaved by our tastes and form habits, which lead to patterns of action. And to these, we remain true. If we are rash and impulsive, we do everything in a rash and impulsive manner, including murder. If, on the other hand, we are devious and complicated, we do everything in a devious and complicated manner, including murder. With what sort of people are we dealing in our story?
Lieutenant, what am I getting out of here?
Now, Mr. Ragland, while you were in that store, you did have an opportunity to either doctor or switch bottles.
What are you talking about?
The owner of the store left you alone for several minutes while he went next door to see if he could get a delivery boy.
Listen, Lieutenant, you gotta believe me.
You'd have been in the clear to tamper with that bottle.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm innocent.
Now, look, Mr. Ragland, you gave me a lead. I followed it. But you're in just as deep as ever.
I didn't poison the cognac.
Well, if you didn't poison the cognac, who did?
I don't know. Martindale did.
Now, you said that before. Why would he want to kill his wife?
Because...
Yes?
Because she was too good for him.
In what way?
In every way. She was delicate and aesthetic, and he was kind of vulgar.
And that would motivate him to kill her?
That and Marguerite.
Marguerite?
The maid.
Oh, what about her?
Well, you've seen her. Good-looking, sexy.
Oh, I see. And Martindale was having an affair with her?
How did you know?
Well, that's what you're trying to say, isn't it?
Well, it's true. Everybody knows it.
Who's everybody?
All of his friends, her friends. Just ask.
Well, that's not good enough. Would they be willing to swear to that in a court of law?
Well...
You know, these things that everyone knows usually come apart on the witness stand under oath.
But it's true. All you have to do is look at them. Listen to the tone in their voices when they talk to each other.
All right. Why didn't Emmett Martindale divorce his wife and marry the maid?
Oh, a gentleman doesn't do that. Besides, in her poor, deluded way, Emma was madly in love with him. She wouldn't let him go. And that's why he took the opportunity to get rid of her.
Yes, Mr. Ragland.
You don't believe me.
Well, should I believe you?
In this country, a man is supposed to be innocent until he's proved
guilty. You'll be given a chance to prove your innocence in court, Mr. Ratner.
Now, don't hand me that. Some chance. The state has unlimited resources, money, manpower, experts. What have I got?
Look, Mr. Ragland, I don't create the setup. I just work for it. Now, let's go back to the beginning. You and Martindale were on the outs. Why?
We couldn't agree on anything. Mostly on how the business should be run. You see, he's tight. He's the stingiest human being in existence. He won't spend a dime on anything. I believe you have to spend it to make it. We fight each other constantly. Well, finally I decided we'd have to find a middle ground. It was his birthday, and I took the occasion...
To send him a very expensive present. Why? Why not something for $10 or $15?
I don't know.
Are you in the habit of giving people expensive gifts?
No.
Wasn't there a lot of defiance in this particular present? Hostility? Wasn't it your way of saying, see how generous I am and how cheap you are?
So, maybe that's true.
Then wouldn't you say the basic purpose of the gift was not to wish him well, but to irritate him?
Okay. What if you're right? What if I did it to outrageous, shriveled, miserly, stingy soul? I hated him for being mean and grasping, but that doesn't prove I wanted to kill him.
Let me try another dozen of those clams oregano, Gus, huh?
Shouldn't you be watching your diet, Lieutenant?
Well, clams don't add weight. They're protein.
They're supposed to have a lot of cholesterol.
Well, still and all, I can't think unless I eat.
What do you got to think about?
Oh, nothing. Nothing so simple can happen to me. It never has. At noon today, a Mrs. Emma Martindale drinks from a bottle of expensive cognac, which a guy named James Ragland sends to her husband as a birthday gift, you see? And she keels over, dead. The booze is spiked with poison.
James Ragland wished to kill friend husband, and something went wrong.
Now, 7 hours later, we have Mr. James Ragland in a cell. He'll be charged. The DA is satisfied he has enough to ask for an indictment. But I'm thinking...
Yeah?
It can't be this easy. It can't be this open and shut. There's something about this case that I just can't seem to get hold of.
What's that?
I don't know, Gus. Listen, do you have any more of that key lime pie? I'm going to talk to the DA.
Why don't you leave just well enough alone?
I haven't had a chance to thank you yet, Lieutenant Cooper. You've worked quickly and efficiently. You've gotten these statements from all the witnesses. I don't see how a jury can come up with anything but a verdict of guilty in the first degree.
Mr. D.A., that's exactly what I wanted to talk to you about. You see, I am not sure that James Ragland is guilty.
What's that?
Well,
With all the evidence?
Mr. Quentin, I'm just not sure.
Why?
I don't know why.
What are you trying to tell me?
Well, I know. The case looks ironclad, but I think there's a weak seam somewhere, and the whole thing can come apart.
Mm-hmm. Well, there has to be a reason for the way you feel. What is it?
Well, that's it. I don't know. Well, maybe I do. It's just that I can't believe James Ragland is guilty.
Why?
Well, I know how this sounds, but I don't think he's the type.
I see. It's one of those reasons. Look, Lieutenant, we've both been around a while. It happens every now and then you get someone who you can't believe can be guilty. It's just a hunch. Maybe it bothers you.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, and this one does bother me.
But we've got him. We've got him cold, Cooper. You know me. I'm not running for governor. It's as much a job to prove a man innocent as guilty. But James Ragland is 100% guilty.
Well, it still bothers me.
Ever ask yourself why every now and then somebody bothers you? It's because guys like us, we always have it on our conscience that we may be railroading an innocent person. I understand, but not him.
Yeah, but I still want to poke around, see if I can come up with something.
Okay, since it bothers you.
I'd be glad to help in any way I can, Lieutenant Cooper.
Now, your full name is Marguerite Willis. How long have you worked for the Martindales?
Oh, 8 years.
Oh, that's a long time. What was your relationship with the family?
My relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm well treated, but I am a servant.
Yeah. We see there are rumors that your relationship with Mr. Martindale is another level.
Oh, do you always hear rumors like that? If there's a woman servant in the house and if her face doesn't stop a clock, people always assume some hanky-panky with a husband. Oh, it's automatic. Oh, those rumors don't bother me.
Yeah, well, it's a question that had to be asked.
Well, I understand.
And it's a line of investigation that has to be followed.
Well, go ahead. You won't find anything. The truth is, Mr. Martindale doesn't like women. That is, he has no romantic inclinations in that direction. If you know what I mean.
No, I'm not sure I do.
Well, he's completely involved with his work. He brings it home every night.
Uh-huh. How did he behave toward his wife?
Oh, like a gentleman.
Did they get along?
Very well.
Did they ever fight?
Lieutenant, has somebody been talking to you?
Oh, many people talk to me.
Well, I'm in a very peculiar position here. Because of my job, I know certain things I have no right to discuss. But I have an idea someone is slandering Mr. Martindale.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you have an idea who that someone is, assuming it is slander.
Well, this conflict between Mr. Martindale and Mr. Raglan, Well, it wasn't only because they couldn't agree on how to run the business. Lieutenant, what I'm about to say isn't going to help him. But my loyalty has to be to my employers. He was in love with Mrs. Martindale, James Raglan was.
Yes.
He knew her before Mr. Martindale did.
Uh-huh.
I even think they were engaged. Then he introduced her to Mr. Martindale, and the next thing everyone knew, Mr. Martindale and Emma were married.
I see. And Mr. Raglan never mentioned this,
No, huh? I guess not. Mr. Raglan would come here to see her regularly. I remember. It was always the same conversation.
Darling, darling, Emma, darling.
Oh, please, Jim.
You made a mistake. Admit it. You don't love him.
Jim, I do love him.
That isn't you saying it. It's your pride. If you make a mistake, you don't have to pay for it for the rest of your life. Just walk away from it.
No.
Look at what he does to you.
What does he do to me?
He neglects you. He abuses
you. Jim, he's my husband.
You didn't know what you were doing.
Oh, Jim, please go.
Worst of all, he's cheap.
Now, Jim, he's thrifty. And you might learn
Why
a lesson.
Do you protect him? Look at yourself. You've been wearing that same dress for 3 years.
Oh.
A man's a millionaire. You're starving to death in here.
Oh, now, I would hardly say that I'm starving.
I mean, your soul is starving. Your spirit. You've become dowdy.
Oh.
You haven't written a line of poetry since your marriage. No one sees you anymore.
I'm happy.
I could kill him.
Jim, you wouldn't dare.
One day, I will.
He said that? I could kill him? One day I will?
Yes, Lieutenant.
Well, thank you. You've been very helpful.
Marguerite, you can't leave lights burning when you're not... Oh, it's the police, Lieutenant.
Yes, I was just leaving, Mr. Martindale. Miss Willis has given me all the information I need. Goodbye. Is he gone?
Yes.
Are you sure?
I can see him through the window. He's getting into his car. Now he's driving off.
Come over here, Angel.
What did you buy me, baby?
First, you come over here and give me a great big kiss.
And so the second act curtain descends, as it should, on a torrid embrace. What are we going to do with all these people? Practically every one of them seems to be telling a lie. Well, maybe the lies will cancel out and we'll be left with the truth. Maybe the truths will cancel out and we'll be left with a lie. Nothing will happen until I return shortly with Act 3.
There's a season coming up.
remember this. The Miromatic aluminum pressure canner lets you can all kinds of food safely. And the Miromatic pressure canner is the only one that comes in seven sizes, from 2.5 to 22 quart. One is right for your family. And only the Miromatic pressure canner has an unbreakable one-piece control with three pressure settings. So the Miromatic you use for canning is also a versatile pressure cooker. Use it year-round to make tasty meals in one-third the time of conventional methods. A Miromatic cooker canner to get ready for a better taste of life.
Miromatic helps you do it right.
Did you know that there are just about 21 million Americans over 16 who can't read? Not even a want ad or a job application. And another generation right behind them. Kids in the inner cities, on reservations, and in Appalachia who may never learn to read. This is Michael Learned for RIF. Reading is fundamental. It's a national nonprofit program with more than 400 local projects all over the country that help kids help themselves to read by giving them the incentive and the books. RIF's goal in this bicentennial year is to get 25 million books into the hands of 5 million children. Books they can choose for themselves and keep for their own. But to keep going and keep helping, RIF needs your help. Send a tax-deductible check or money order to RIF. It's tough to ask for money, and RIF knows it's tough to give it. But think how much tougher life would be if you couldn't read. Please, send your donation to RIF, Box 23444, Washington, D.C., 20024.
Mrs. Emma Martindale was killed when she drank some poisoned cognac. This much is definite. The rest is all loose ends. We really don't know for a fact who put the poison into the bottle. Nor do we know if Mrs. Martindale was the intended victim. Our knowledge is exceeded by ignorance, which, however, can be said of everyone, everywhere.
You lied to me, James Raglan. You never told me you were once engaged to Emma Martindale.
Well, we weren't really engaged, Lieutenant.
Now, you never said you were in love with her, that you hated Martindale for taking her from you.
Not really.
Now, when you withhold vital information deliberately, that's the same as lying. Now, do you deny saying to Emma, I could kill him? Didn't you also say one day, I will kill him?
Well, I may have said something like that. I didn't mean it that way.
Well, then why did you say it?
Because a man gets mad, gets drunk, and says a lot of things he doesn't mean. I know it looks bad.
Now, you don't know how bad.
But I'm innocent, no matter what. Okay, I should have told you about the way things were between Emma and me. It was a mistake. But I was scared. You can't quit on me. You have to help me.
Now, I went to the DA. I stuck my neck out for you, and all the time you were holding out on me.
I told you, I was
now,
afraid.
Now, that's the end of the line. I'm getting off this train because it just isn't going anywhere. I don't know whether to have the steak or the fish. Hey, give me both. Potatoes, the salad, and, you got garlic bread?
What's the use? I didn't serve you. You only go someplace else.
Oh, Gus, I have some heavy thinking to do.
About what?
About this James Raglan guy.
You still feel he didn't do it?
Now, believe me, Gus, I'd like it if he did it, but the package is still too neat.
Even though he's been lying to you?
Yep.
Even though he's got the motive?
That's the trouble. He's got everything, everything.
Oh, you ain't gonna enjoy your dinner.
I know. It's gonna fall into place, though, everything.
What do you mean?
It's all running around in my head, Gus. I just wish something would happen to make it stand still for a minute so I could sort it out.
Give it time.
Look, I'll start with the salad.
Okay.
What did you say?
I said okay.
No. You said give it time. Time. Do you realize, Gus, that this whole thing is based on time? Timing, for crying out loud. It's been right out there in front of me all along. Now, Doc, how long did you say it took for her to die after she swallowed that poison?
That's all in the report, Lieutenant. Just a couple of minutes.
I see. Okay, she swallows a drink. In a couple of minutes, she's dead, right? Now they call the ambulance immediately.
Well, that's what the report says.
Yes, and it also says the request was made at 12 noon. It arrived 6 minutes later. It's 12:06.
You have to admit that's great time.
Yeah, but don't you see? The question is, when did she drink it? Mr. Barnaby, how many bottles of Dunstan's cognac do you keep in stock?
Are you kidding? At that price? I just kept the one.
And there's no way anyone could have sneaked in here and replaced the bottle of Dunstan's you had with one that had been poisoned, huh?
In the first place, I got a special protection system, see?
Uh-huh.
And there's only one key to the store. I never let go of it. And besides, there's the burglar alarm.
All right. Now, James Ragland came in yesterday to buy the cognac, huh?
Yeah, I told you all that.
Yeah, now this was just before 11 o'clock. He bought the cognac and you gift-wrapped it.
Look, I'm prepared to testify to that effect in court. He wanted immediate delivery. So I went next door to see if the grocer's delivery boy was around.
All right. Now answer this. Where was your delivery boy?
Well, it turns out he had a little accident on his motorbike on the way downtown.
I see. In the normal way, would he have been here in the morning?
Oh, sure. It's his job.
Yeah. Now, when Mr. Ragland bought the cognac, he assumed you could deliver it at once.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Now, he would have no way of knowing your delivery boy was unavailable.
Even I didn't know that.
Now, the bottle on the shelf had to be good.
You're not kidding.
So then, if your boy had been here, he would have taken the bottle and gone to deliver it, and there'd be no way for Ragland to tamper with it, right? He couldn't have planned to use this method to commit murder.
I'm glad to hear you say that, Lieutenant.
All right, now one further question.
Yeah?
This bottle. Examine it, please. Now, is this the bottle that you sold to Mr. Ragland?
Yes, sir. It's got the Dunstan's label, see?
Uh-huh.
And on the bottom, it's got my own sticker. Barnaby's Better Service.
Examine it very carefully. Now, this is the bottle that contained the poisoned cognac Mrs. Martindale drank. Is it the same bottle you delivered?
Why, yes, there can be no... Wait a minute. Hold a second now. No, this is the wrong bottle.
What?
There was never any Dunstan cognac in this bottle.
Why not?
Well, look, it may look like a bottle of Dunstan's, but Dunstan's doesn't use this particular bottle. Here, look at the bottom.
Mm.
Now, you see the little raised letters here? It says K-R.
K-R.
That stands for Krieger's.
Ah.
It's another distillery. They don't even make cognac.
Then this can't be the bottle you delivered to the Martindale house, huh?
No way.
But the switch had to be made somewhere. This is not the same bottle you sold Ragland. Hello, this is Lieutenant Cooper speaking. Sergeant, you got a call earlier to send an ambulance to a Mrs. Martindale. The record says noon. I want you to check that book of yours. Make sure it wasn't about a quarter after 11. Oh, I see. I see. It was the first call you took when you came on at 12. Thank you, Sergeant.
Emmett, baby, I need some money.
But I gave you money yesterday.
It's gone.
Gone?
Yesterday is gone, too.
But you just can't go around spending money as if it...
That's what money's for.
Well, you're just going to have to learn. Money has to be saved, protected against waste.
The way she learned it?
Emma was quite prudent where money was concerned.
Sweetie, if you want to make me into another Emma, why did you get rid of her in the first place?
You must never say that, even when we're alone.
Oh, the only things we should say to each other when we're alone is, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I should go shopping.
Marguerite, I see I shall have to teach you some basic facts of economics.
You're not going to teach me anything. I'm going to teach you.
Well, it seems to me you're forgetting who you are. I could fire you on the spot.
And I could walk out of here and report to the nearest police station.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about a bottle of Dunstan's cognac and everything that happened to it from the moment I took it from the delivery man to the moment Emma drank it.
But you wouldn't. I mean, after all... Oh. Now, who's that? See who it is.
Well, I can see who it is from here, out the window. It's that detective. That's his car at the curb. What does he want here?
Oh, probably more routine.
But he was just here a few hours ago.
Don't start looking nervous.
Suppose he suspects.
What can he suspect? How can he suspect? Answer the door. I have to see him.
Yes, Lieutenant, what can I do for you?
I'm finishing my report. I want to be sure I have everything straight. Miss Willis, you answered the door when a Mr. Barnaby was here to deliver some liquor.
Well, I don't know if his name was Mr. Barnaby.
And you accepted a gift-wrapped package. You brought it in here, and you, sir, opened the package and summoned Mrs. Martindale. You uncorked the bottle, poured a drink for her, and a drink for yourself.
Yes.
Ah. Now, immediately, she became fatally ill. You had Miss Willis here call for an ambulance.
I believe I've already made a statement to that effect.
Now, Miss Willis, after Mr. Martindale asked you to summon an ambulance, how long did it take you to do so?
Oh, no time at all. I heard him shout. I lifted the phone. I dialed the police emergency number, and I was connected in, well, maybe 5-10 seconds.
To sum up then, Miss Willis, how long was it from the time you accepted the package from the delivery man to the time Mrs. Martindale took that fatal drink?
How long?
Yes.
Well, it couldn't have been more than 5 minutes.
It might have been less. You see, it all happened so quickly.
Yes, well, we agreed then on 5 minutes. Now, Mr. Barnaby says he delivered that package to you at about 10 minutes after 11. 5 minutes after the delivery, you placed the call for an ambulance.
Well, hasn't that been abundantly clear by this time, Lieutenant?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it poses a problem.
What sort of problem?
Well, somehow we have lost or mislaid 45 minutes.
What do you mean?
Well, we can't account for the 45 minutes that elapsed between the time you say Mrs. Martindale drank the cognac and the time you say you called the ambulance.
But I called the ambulance immediately.
Yeah, but you didn't call for it at 11:15. You see, the police records show that the call came in exactly at 12 noon.
Well, we may have been mistaken as to the time.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we can prove the cognac was delivered at about 10 after 11. And you are already on record as having said you opened it and Mrs. Martindale drank it 5 minutes later.
Well, I was confused, upset, nervous. We didn't get to open the cognac until 5 minutes till noon there.
Oh, so, you're changing your story then?
Well, it's my right upon sober consideration.
Yeah, but that means that Miss Willis will also have to change her story.
Well, of course.
Are you changing your story, Miss Willis?
Marguerite, you just tell him we were mistaken.
Now, before you answer, Miss Willis, let me account for the discrepancy in time.
There was no discrepancy.
Now, the package is delivered. You see the note, Mr. Martindale. It says, to Emmett, on your birthday, to be sipped slowly, signed Jim Ragland. Now, you say to yourself, what a way to get rid of Jim and my wife at the same time.
No, just a minute.
So, you go to your laboratory, you get some hydrocyanic acid.
This is all...
Now, the thing to do is to pour some hydrocyanic acid into the bottle of Dunstan's cognac and then reseal it. Ah, but you're basically a stingy man. Why ruin the exceptional cognac, huh? So you remove the Dunstan's label and the liquor store sticker, and you fix them onto a cheap bottle of whiskey.
I'll sue you for defamation.
Now, you work very carefully. Takes nearly 45 minutes. And then you call your wife, play the little charade with her, get her to drink the poison liquor, and have Miss Willis phone for the ambulance. This brings us to 12 noon. And now the times are reconciled.
Are you daring
now,
to charge me?
Now, why don't you offer me a drink? Dunstan's. It should be right here in the liquor cabinet.
Oh, you have no right to open my liquor cabinet.
Now, this bottle here, without a label. Now, if you look at some raised letters on the bottom of the bottle, you see? Little raised letters spelling Dunstan's. Well, Miss Willis?
Marguerite, he can't do
Miss Willis, anything. What does he offer you? 20 years to life, even the chair.
Marguerite, he's bluffing.
He does have money, but will he be more generous with you than he was with his wife?
Marguerite!
He gives nothing away, even when it costs him nothing. Now, that bottle of Dunstan's, had he not wasted precious time, had he just poured the poison into it, he would have been in the clear, but no, he's so cheap, he wouldn't even use good whiskey to poison his wife. So now he has to pay the price. Why should you?
Marguerite, don't you see what he's doing?
Lieutenant, he threatened to kill me.
Who was it that said, the cheapest way will always cost more in the end? At any rate, the jury felt that Marguerite was a helpless tool, so she'll be released shortly, after a short stay in jail. Emmett will never be released. He has a lifetime career in the prison library. He also teaches chemistry in the prison school. So, at least our story has some redeeming social value. And I shall return with even more values.
For an incredible but true look at the strange and little-known world of the gypsies, read King of the Gypsies by Peter Maas, the author who ruthlessly penetrated the mafia in the Valachi papers and exposed police corruption in Serpico. His newest book reveals the intrigue-filled mysteries of gypsy life and the amazing true story of the young man battling his father in a life-or-death struggle for leadership of the tribe today. King of the Gypsies, a Bantam book where paperbacks are sold.
Pick up a pickup. Pick it up and take it home.
Pickups, a rotary-powered air conditioner from Fitters. Just as powerful as ordinary units, but lighter and smaller. So you can take it home and
put it in the window, close the sash and plug it in. Move it to the bedroom, take it on vacation. One little pickup, one little pickup. One little Fitters may be all you need.
Pick up a pickup at your Fitters dealer today. You may feel it's an embarrassing subject, but since one out of every three people suffers hemorrhoid symptoms at some time, you should know about Preparation H. Preparation H gives prompt, temporary relief from occasional pain and itch in many cases. But Preparation H does more. Actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation. With so many having the problem, it's comforting to know that Preparation H helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues. Ointment or suppositories. Use only as directed.
She was tooling down a country road when her radiator sneezed and then it blowed. She used a pace CB and started hollering, "Breaker, breaker, this is Sweetheart." Well, there's people with a pace all over the place, and Sweetheart started a human race. Semis and campers and helicopters. When you're in a fix, you'll draw a crowd. When you got a pace, for crying out loud. When you got a Pace CB, you got the world by the ears. Pace CB two-way radios for your car, home, and business. See them today at your nearby Pace dealer.
The art of perception. To see suddenly a multitude of possibilities in what is on the surface only a confused mass. And to examine a single drop of water and divine therein the scheme of the universe. Opportunity of all kinds surrounds us constantly, for good, for evil. And for seven times each week to listen to this program. Our cast included Larry Haynes, Leon Janney, Court Benson, Sam Gray, and Joan Shea. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
News coming up next in KIXI. The weather outlook, variable cloudiness tonight, turning cooler tomorrow through Wednesday, with increasing chance of showers or possible thundershowers. The highs in the lower 70s and lows, 60 tonight, 55 tomorrow night. Currently in downtown Seattle, it's 65 degrees.
filling the air with bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
The time at KIXI, now 11 p.m.
CBS News. Egypt has called for an urgent Arab foreign ministers meeting to discuss the steadily deteriorating situation in Lebanon. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Egyptian Foreign Minister Ismail Fahmy accused rightist forces of torpedoing a ceasefire agreement in Lebanon, and he said his country no longer could remain indifferent to the present scale of fighting, which he labeled as clearly aimed at the liquidation of the Palestinian revolution. Arab foreign ministers met 3 weeks ago and agreed on a ceasefire and the posting of a pan-Arab peacekeeping force in Lebanon, but the Palestinian-Lebanese leftist alliance complained to the Arab League that the force has failed thus far to play an effective role in ending hostilities. Arab League Secretary General Mahmoud Riyad ordered two more units, one Saudi Arabian, the other Sudanese, now in Syria, to move into Lebanon. They're expected to reach their positions sometime Tuesday. Meanwhile, fighting is reported escalating on most Muslim-Christian battlefronts in Lebanon. Beirut's communications with the outside world remain cut, but CBS News correspondent Doug Tinnell got this taped report to Amman Jordan for transmission to the United States.
Palestinian guerrillas are on the offensive in Beirut suburbs in an attempt to counter an attack by Christian gunmen on two large Palestinian camps east of the city. Both sides have been trading artillery fire almost nonstop for at least 3 days now. They are pounding away at military and civilian targets at random. One casualty in this latest round of battle is Beirut's airport. It was closed on Sunday after one of the shells destroyed a commercial airliner, killing the pilot and wounding several others. The heaviest fighting, however, centers around the Palestinian refugee camps located in the middle of Christian-controlled East Beirut. The war began around those besieged camps 15 months ago, and since then it appears to have come full circle. Lebanon's politicians seem no closer to a solution now than they did then. The only tangible results of the warfare so far is the de facto partition of Lebanon into Muslim and Christian camps and the widespread destruction of this divided capital. Doug Tinnell, CBS News, Beirut.
More news in a moment.
Here's a chance to save money and serve a great meal. Manwich Sloppy Joe's made with free Wonder Buns. Right now, participating grocers have a special offer on Hunt's Manwich Sauce and Wonder Buns, the perfect combination for delicious Sloppy Joes. Just buy them both, then find out how to get a package of Wonder Buns free. Wait till you discover how easy it is. Just brown your ground beef, add a can of thick tomatoey Manwich sauce, and spoon on the fresh Wonder Buns. Delicious. Look for the Wonder Buns and Manwich display. Then treat your family to Manwiches and save.
I'm Toby Harris, shortstop for the Texas Rangers. There will be plenty of spectacular action in this year's All-Star Game. Wherever you are, you can hear it all when CBS Sports brings you radio coverage Tuesday night, July 13th.
The All-Star Game, you'll hear it all when CBS Radio Sports brings you live exclusive play-by-play radio coverage Tuesday, July 13th. It's baseball's big night of the summer. Listen wherever you are with portable radio Tuesday, July 13th over most of these CBS Radio network stations.
President Ford is back at the White House, having returned Monday night from 3 days in Puerto Rico and an economic summit conference with leaders of Great Britain, France, West Germany, Italy, and Canada. Before leaving the scene of the summit, Mr. Ford had this reaction.
I was greatly impressed with the candid and friendly atmosphere here. Our countries have come through a very difficult period. Our cooperation during this period has not only contributed to the resolution of problems, but has, in fact, significantly strengthened relations among our countries and among the industrial democracies as a whole.
The summit ended with the leaders agreeing on a cautious program of economic growth, lest the fires of inflation be fanned anew. A much-delayed summit conference of 28 communist nations gets underway Tuesday in East Berlin. After 2 years of bitter backstage argument over dogma and tactics, the Soviet Union has pledged to accept diversity in a system once controlled rigidly by the Kremlin. Marine Corps General Court-Martial Trial Board of 5 officers and 3 enlisted men has acquitted drill instructor Harold Bronson of all charges and specifications. The staff sergeant was charged with involuntary manslaughter and other charges after the death of recruit Lynn McClure, who had been pummeled senseless by other recruits in a series of pugil stick bouts. More after this.
The worst handicap a child can suffer is not blindness or deafness or cerebral palsy or mental retardation. No, the worst handicap is for a child to be deprived of the chance to overcome his handicap and lead as nearly normal a life as possible. With special education, most handicapped children can learn and do much more than most people expect of them. But millions of handicapped children are still being denied their right to the special education they need to develop their full potential. If you have a child with a handicap, any kind of handicap, physical, mental, or emotional, we can help. Free. Write Closer Look, Box 1492, Washington, D.C., 20013.
A public service message from this station and the United States Office of Education.
Independence came to the Seychelles Islands in the Indian Ocean at midnight after 182 years as a British colony. The British captured the islands from the French in 1794. The new republic will remain part of the British Commonwealth. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
It's 6 minutes past 11.
I'm Ben Franklin, and once again I quote from the wisdom of Poor Richard's Almanac on beginnings and endings. Watch your beginnings, for he who begins must finish. Yet a good beginning makes a good ending. The beginning of a ship is a plank, of a kiln, stones, of a king's reign, salutation, of health, sleep. The end of a ship is sinking, of a kiln, burning, of a king, fault finding, of health, a sigh. But remember, every ending has the seeds of a new beginning. And now, some wisdom from a modern source.
To celebrate the bicentennial, many Continental insurance agents are offering a free souvenir booklet. It's called Our Nation's Heritage and contains 16 full-color scenes from revolutionary times, all suitable for framing. For your copy, see a participating Continental insurance agency. Just check with any agent listed under the Continental Soldier in the Yellow Pages.
24 hours a day, every day, bright and beautiful music, right here on KIXI.